This morning, the scripture is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them as their God. They will be God's people. And God, God's self, will be with them. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life."
Would you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, be with us here today. Illuminate your word to us. Open our hearts and our minds that we might hear what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. After 9/11 and the lead up to the invasion of Iraq, when emotions were raw and vengeful, intolerant words had been deemed all but patriotic, I remember thinking, what if there were no countries to divide our loyalties? Where would we be now? How much better off would we be? Later, in my first year of seminary, when I was asked to write a paper talking about the three Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, I had similar thoughts. I couldn't help but wonder why we couldn't come together as an extended family to celebrate our shared ancestry, as well as celebrate the unique beauty of each individual path. These ideas had hit me like epiphanies, exciting, fresh, and new. Naive? Maybe a little. Original? Well, I thought so until I recalled, and you're welcome to join in with me here. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions, I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one. Yes, I did feel a little silly when I recalled that John Lennon had come to some very similar conclusions in the middle of the Vietnam War. And yet even his was just one in a chain of utopian visions spanning the ages. From Karl Marx to Thomas More to another John, author of the Book of Revelation. I'm guessing most of us wouldn't necessarily equate the Book of Revelation with utopia. Armageddon, Babylon, the beast with 666 on its forehead. These nightmarish images tend to dominate the airwaves in churches and in movies. Consequently, many folks won't touch the book of Revelation with a 10-foot pole. Too many people have been traumatized by scare tactics, suggesting that such a horrific fate will one day be theirs. That is, unless they follow a highly specific path to Christian salvation. Truth be told, the book of Revelation had a hard time making it into the biblical canon and was barely acknowledged by theologians like Martin Luther and John Calvin. In some ways, its eventual inclusion in the New Testament was a fluke. They had confused its obscure author, John, with the Gospel of John's author. And so its signs and symbols have been confusing people ever since. We could leave the book by the wayside. We could just abandon its imagery and its message to others' imaginations and agendas. Or we could retake and transform it by replacing literalism with seriousness. We could apply reason, consider the cultural, historical, and literary contexts, and soon arrive at the conclusion that, just maybe, John and his audience were already living that nightmare. Maybe they had enough on their plates that they weren't terribly concerned with the fates of people who wouldn't be born till almost 2,000 years later. Subject to persecution, even martyrdom, at the hands of the Roman Empire, they were expecting Jesus to arrive soon. In the meantime, this text was intended to vindicate, comfort, and give them big picture hope. It could do the same for us today, but there's kind of a catch. In fact, our country is not exactly oppressed by a Roman Empire. In fact, to some, we are that empire. And perhaps that's another reason why the book of Revelation can be so hard to read. Do we really want to relate to the whore of Babylon? Few of us relish the bad guy or gal role. But perhaps even more than that, it's hard to escape the sense that we are little more than cogs in a large, impersonal machine, a beast, if you will. On the immigration front, it might seem, violence, separation of families, slave wages, and intolerable working conditions will roll on, with or without us. It's nothing new, though. It's part of the fabric of this country. Despite the Statue of Liberty's gracious invitation, each wave of immigrants has faced its version of this scenario, now confronting a largely Hispanic immigrant population. Eventually, each wave does work its way out of the ghetto and up the totem pole. And yet, this cycle has never been right. It's always been at odds with the stated principles, our stated principles of hospitality and human dignity, both as Americans and as Christians. This time around, it is different and worse in that it is our own globalized economy that has created the inhospitable conditions in people's countries that force them to seek work abroad in order to feed and clothe their families. And no longer are we a fledgling, struggling country, but the superpower and one of the 10 wealthiest nations in the world. Escape this cycle We must. Unfortunately, I don't have all the answers on immigration reform, and I'm guessing that you don't either. But we do know that God created all peoples and holds all life dear. In the words of one priest, for God, there is no such thing as an illegal human being. Neither is there any such thing as salvation for individuals, while communities of people remain impoverished and oppressed. We are all in chains. Imagine, in your wildest imaginations, imagine. Imagine the dreams that God dreams of a new heaven and a new earth. Whether they be spoken through Martin Luther King Jr., a first century seer named John, or a rock star named John. Know that there is power in a return to a childlike innocence, that it may be easier to access possibilities from this place and to see them manifest on earth, even if it takes 40 years or more. But first, we must pray and speak those dreams aloud with wild and reckless abandon. Hear the dream of God and let it fill you with hope and determination. See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them as their God. They will be God's peoples, and God, God's self, will be with them. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. See, I am making all things new. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Amen.